Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Touchline Podcast, episode 24, the Jeff Antonella episode. You guys are in for a treat this week. We're going to talk a little bit about the Portland game coming up tomorrow, so hopefully you guys can listen to it before then. If not, you'll know the result, and you can tell us how stupid we were for what we said, or how brilliant we were, right? Hopefully brilliant, right, Brett?
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Talk a little bit about the U.S. men's national team, and we'll talk about their upcoming Dallas and CONCACAF game against Municipal as well for RSL. So let's get to it. Let's first start out. I guess we'll start RSL and we'll talk Portland, which is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to this, you may or may not have heard or know what happened in the game, but what do you think is going to happen?
We're going to win, because we always win. I was going to say, Portland, we only have two losses at home this year, and Portland's responsible for one of them, so it's not as easy as a win as we'd like them to be.
Well, I mean, in our defense, that game when we lost to them, we should have won. I mean, we totally outplayed them, and then mm-hmm. they just got a crap goal right at the very end.
Yeah, thanks to a nobody named Nat Borchers.
Yeah, darn that Nat Borchers. No, I mean, I'm excited for the game. I think it'll be really good. I'm a little bit concerned. I hope Beckerman has a little bit of gas left in the tank mm-hmm. after the Mexico game. But everyone else should be pretty well rested and, ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, only player I know is not going to be there is DeMar Phillips, and it's just because he's suspended.
Well, I think Mansali's gone because he's with the Gambia, and I don't think he'll be back yet. So they're talking about having Allen or Glad or somebody else on the outside there.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I'm excited for the game. I think I don't know if anybody's hurt for Portland, but. We always seem to match up really well against them and play well. And Porter Ball doesn't seem to affect us very much.
Yeah, and I mean, just looking over this, like suspended with the next yellow card, we only have Jordan Allen and Kyle Beckerman, and Kyle's pretty smart about knowing how to protect himself in situations like that. But looking over Portland's, you got Chara, Alvarez Powell, and Diego Valeri, who get a yellow card and they have to sit their next game. So this might be a Portland team that kind of has to play a little cautious, trying not to get people suspended.
We'll hope so. I don't know if that will affect the way Chara plays, for example. That guy's a walking yellow card and he never gets one, so it drives me bonkers.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think we'll do well. I read an article today talking about how, last year they left it till the last day, Portland did, and, they didn't get in because results didn't go that way, and they vowed, to not let that happen this year, but I don't know, I just have a feeling that that's what's going to happen this year, is that, RSLs will win so that we'll all be tied, and then it'll just come down to the last couple games of who does better, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and you just kind of hope that maybe with Burrito and the way he's kind of picked up the offense a little bit, that you don't come down to that 86 minute goal that before then we have it put away.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, let's take care of business. Let's put a dent in some of that goal differential tiebreaker that we're behind on and let's win, 4-5-0. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Goals for everyone.
Honest goals.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to talk about Portland, since probably most people have already seen the game when they listen to this?
Just looking over the referee, it's Juan Guzman. He's a guy that has about 50 games under his belt, so it's a guy that I'm not going to worry about. I think if we don't win, we can't really put it on the ref. this is one of those where we're going to have to actually go out and play.
Wow. Let's hope that it doesn't come down to a referee decision, but let's just make sure that we don't, like you say, leave it to that.
Yeah.
Take care of business ourselves.
Yeah.
So next up after that on Saturday, we play Dallas. And Dallas, they played last Wednesday against Vancouver. In Vancouver, got a 0-0 draw. And then they're playing Vancouver again this Wednesday at home. And then they'll play us on Saturday. So I think you were saying before we started that they have a chance to wrap up first place potentially this week if, you know, results go their way.
Yeah, it all depends on what happens in other games, but a win for Dallas in this game pretty much puts them in the step in the right direction to secure the West. They also need like an LA loss and Sporting Kansas City loss on top of it, or a tie. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, I'm always nervous when we play Dallas in Dallas, you know, because we never seem to have good luck in Texas. I think I have less of a problem with them here when they come here, but I mean, you always have to worry about their counterattacks, like Fabian Castillo. They just have speed, you know, with a lot of their position players, and,
yep,
you know. Historically, that's something we've really struggled with.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm nervous for. You know, and then we play on Saturday, and then we have another game on Tuesday. So that will be three games in, what, 6 days? You know, yeah. So I guess I'll be curious to see what Kassar does lineup-wise to try and prioritize.
I'm assuming he's going to throw out his best against Portland, and depending on the result, depends on what kind of lineup you're going to see against Dallas. Because, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you think that he'll leave the CONCACAF game to kind of the B squad, considering how every game he's put the B squad in, they haven't been able to score?
I think it all depends on Portland. If they get a win against Portland and the playoff hopes are still alive, I see him running out not his best 11 against Dallas, but maybe most of his best 11 against Dallas with a few guys in there that you wouldn't maybe sit Jaime or something like that and let Sandoval run and then use Jaime for CONCACAF. I mean, at this point in the season, I'd probably put more emphasis on getting CONCACAF locked down and getting that as a, you know, getting the results that you need from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if in either Dallas or Municipal we'll see Jeff Antonella. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those two games we see Vasquez play center back.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wouldn't be surprised if Morales or Beckerman sat one of those two.
Yeah. Maybe let Jordan Allen play up in the midfield some.
Yeah, or, you know, if Luis Silva's healthy, you know, give him another go. Or Luis Gil even. You know, I was reading the, you know, U23's played tonight. So they qualified. They beat Canada 2-0. Gil came in the second half. He played well. He had a bunch of really good, you know, through ball passes. And, you know, somebody did make mention that they didn't think he could play against Portland because I guess there's some sort of 48-hour rule about, you know, you have to have 48 hours between games. So he would potentially be fresh and available for Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, generally if you got a player who's hot, I mean, he's not hot scoring goals, but he's playing really good football right now. Why not throw him against Dallas? I mean,
yeah, I mean, like you say, it'll depend on what happens with Portland, but I wouldn't be surprised if against Dallas that some of our starters do rest because, I mean, say, you know, we draw or lose or whatever against Dallas, and then we play a B squad against Municipal and we don't advance, I mean, that would just be, you know, a double catastrophe. So,
yeah.
Speaking of the CONCACAF game, so the result's pretty much just we have to either draw or win.
Yep.
If we lose, then it goes down to all sorts of crazy tiebreakers, and we'd probably lose them.
Pretty much it turns into the first tiebreaker is the number of points between teams. We would be tied at 7 if they win. And then it comes down to number of goals for them to secure that one. They need to win by at least 2 goals. And if they only have a goal lead, then it goes down to away goals, which we would tie on, goal differential, which we would tie on, and then it goes down to number of goals scored, which right now we're tied 3-3. So if they win 1-0, we're done. If they win 2-0, we're done. If they win at all, we're done.
Hmm. So pretty much just get a draw or win.
Get a draw, get a win. I mean, and the nice thing about it is you're probably, if you take care of this, you don't have to worry about it. You can worry about playoffs and deal with CONCACAF in the postseason, because you won't play another game like that until February, March time.
End of February, yeah. Yeah, so that'll be exciting. Really, the question will just be, what does Kassar do priority-wise on player time? Because not only do we have the 3 games in 6 days, but then we play again in Seattle on that Sunday. So what, another 5 days after that? And then if we made the playoffs, then I think there'd be a playing game midweek again, you know, so potentially there's a lot of games here in a row. So, and the Seattle game's on turf, so you don't never know what that'll do to like Olave. I don't know. It's just crazy times.
Yeah. And you're kind of hoping the team's depth was built for stretches like this.
So you would hope, but it doesn't seem like, at least in the CONCACAF games, we've tried to rely on it, but they haven't performed as well as you would hope. So,
I mean, I'm trying to look it up right now, but I'm having trouble finding it. I can't remember when we played all our CONCACAF games in like a crazy stretch where we just went everywhere.
Oh yeah, it was the beginning of August when we had our first 2. Or I think it was just the first 1 or no, 2. I don't remember. But that was the road trip of death. So I guess speaking of Municipal, just so people know, they're in 8th place in their league currently. They've played 12 games. There's 12 teams, looks like, in the league. So they're 8th out of 12. Their last 5 results have gone, let's see, it's win, draw, draw, win, loss. And then they play again. They play one more time before we play them. So they haven't been doing the best, but, you know, they're always kind of a dangerous. Any of these teams are, you know, dangerous. That's why they're in this thing, so.
Yeah, and I just found it. So during that road trip that just sucked, we went to D.C. and lost 6-4. Then we traveled to Municipal and won 0-1. And then we lost at Vancouver, at Sporting, and at Portland before finally getting at least a week off for rest.
Sorry.
If our depth going to be tested, it's going to be tested, but right now you're hoping that maybe a guy like Burrito can change something. And
yeah,
that's kind of the difference. I mean, you got Burrito now.
Well, we really need like Plata to step up. He really hasn't done that much this year, you know. He hasn't scored very many goals. He hasn't been as dynamic as he was last year, so we need him to.
I think a lot of that I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that people know him now. Like last, when he got traded, it was pretty much a people gave up on him. And we put him in a system that worked for him. And it worked out great for him. I mean, last year, 13 goals in 26 games. This year, he's only got 4 goals in 18 games.
Yeah, yeah, his production has sure definitely dropped off. I mean, people keep saying, you know, he's still coming back from, you know, his injury. And I mean, I just don't know how long you can keep using that. I mean, at some point, you gotta, you know, make an impact. How many assists does he have?
4.
4 and 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would expect, I mean, he should have, you know, twice those.
Yeah, I mean, well, last year he only had 6.
What, assists?
Mm-hmm.
And how many goals did you say?
13.
Yeah, so I mean.
Last year he was scoring a goal about every other game, and right now he's scoring a goal less than every 4th game.
Yeah, he needs to do better there for sure. I mean, he shows flashes, but then we just haven't gotten him, I guess, the ball in the right places as much.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a perfect time to just let Jaime go off. I mean, you've seen what he's capable of. Whenever he scores in bunches. So I want to see if he can score against Portland, then I think the next few games he's just going to be a dangerous player because he's proven that when he can score, that, like, he has a surge of confidence and just goes off for, like, 3-4 games straight.
Yeah. I just wonder if he's drained for having 3 kids on, you know, under 1. And so he's, I can imagine what that would be like. And, you know, people forget about that kind of stuff, but, all right. Well,
but you know, we do have Javier. I mean, and he's played almost 800 minutes less this year than last year and still has the exact same number, almost the exact same number of goals and assists. He's off by 1 in each category.
Wow.
So, well, ages wonder.
Yeah, here's to the fountain of youth and Javi Morales, for sure. All right, well, that kind of, I think, wraps up a little bit of the RSL talk. Unless you have anything else you want to mention?
Is there any way to get Javier to play for the national team?
Not Javi, but his boy maybe could suit up.
That'd be great.
He could probably make the team right now.
Is there any way Javi can coach that team?
I think so. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know what coaching license he has, but he could get his A license pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, the national team, man, I don't know. They're just the game, the result against Mexico was certainly deserved. I mean, if we would have won that game, we would have stolen it. You know, if it went to penalties and we would have won. New Mexico clearly was better than we were.
Yep.
It just doesn't make sense to me how, you know, after all this time and stuff, we still can't figure out how to, you know, pass the ball to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to balance what is on Klinsmann. I mean, you know, people say that his training sessions aren't effective and that, you know, tactically he puts people in weird positions that they've never played before. But on the flip side, you know, once the players are out there, I mean, Klinsmann only has so much that he could do, and the players aren't really playing as a team together.
Yeah. I think what you have with Klinsmann is, and you hear it a lot in, like, other sports, and I think this is the first time you have, like, a great example of it at a soccer level. This is a guy that can build a team, but he can't coach a team. So he'll turn a team around. He'll get you the talent that you need. He'll get you, you know, everything you need set in place. But when it comes down to X's and O's, he can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like, you know, the ideas he's had about the vertical integration of the different teams and stuff has been good. But like you say, just his – personnel management and his tactical acumen is just poor. Mm-hmm. It's just poor.
Yeah. Which is really weird considering that German team that got really, really close to actually winning the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost in the semis to Italy. But, I mean, they were one game out. They ended up taking third that year.
You almost wonder. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you got to wonder if that was all home field advantage working for them or what exactly was going on there.
I definitely think there was some of the home field advantage. And also it might have been they got third place despite of their coach, you know, just because their talent level was so good. You know, mm-hmm. the players could kind of coach themselves in a way. You know, and even despite Klinsmann being tactically retarded, he, you know, their Germany team did okay.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a guy who's notorious for, like, being flip-flop, I guess is the best term. I mean, in the Confederations Cup in 2005, they had Oliver Kahn, who, you know, he's a great goalkeeper. And goalkeepers each game during that tournament instead of having consistency back there. And when Kahn spoke out about it, he got benched and, you know, I don't think he really played for the national team much after that.
Yeah.
Or if he did, he wasn't a starter or anything.
It is disconcerting that, you know, all of the goals that Klinsmann said he's had, you know, ever since he's been involved, pretty much he hasn't achieved any of them, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and he keeps setting new goals and keeps failing to reach them. So I don't know what that means. And, you know, if the U.S., the under-23s, if they don't beat Colombia in their play-in match, when is that, next spring? I mean, that'll be two Olympics in a row we haven't qualified. And, I mean, I think that's a failure on Klinsmann, even though he's not directly the coach, but I mean, I guess we'll see how World Cup qualifying starts out mm-hmm. for a few games, but the team certainly doesn't look good.
Yeah. And I went back and I looked at Germany. They got drew into a group with Costa Rica, Poland, and Ecuador. So it wasn't exactly barn burners they were going against.
Yeah. I think all those teams have got lots better since then.
Yeah, and then after that, they beat Sweden. They had to take Argentina to PKs, and then they got beaten Italy. So It looks more or less like looking back. I mean, now you wouldn't want to play Argentina, but at that time, Argentina would have been a team you were okay playing.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly didn't have – you know, the hardest path in the world to get to that, mm-hmm. you know, that the game they lost, was that the semifinals?
Yeah.
So.
And I guess it helps if you have close playing for you.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping that the players themselves can figure it out. And that magically some of these younger guys, you know, Zardes, Bobby Wood, I think who else? You know, some of these center backs, Alvarado and John Brooks, you know, some of them can start figuring it out because Klinsmann's going to keep playing them out of position until they do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't know who you'd want as the next coach, but I think you got World Cup qualifying getting ready to start, and if you're not seeing dominant results against weaker competition, I think you need to start considering getting rid of him. But
yeah, it totally seems like Gulati is not interested whatsoever in changing coaches. So
yeah, and also some of those players, I mean, they speak out and they say stuff that you can tell that they're not happy, and the next thing you know, he gets, you know, he sends that player home or something like that. So he's a guy that doesn't like criticism either. fun what you do.
I've been enjoying the MLS analyst, Matt Doyle's on Twitter, his rants about, you know, fire Klinsmann type stuff. It's been pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think that's all for us today. Real peppy, right?
Short show.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess hopefully you guys listen to this before the game against Portland. Otherwise, listen to it after the game against Portland. We'll still have good information for you. Hope you guys had a good time listening. You can get us on Twitter at @Frisbee_Rich.
And I'm at @A24Brett and at @Touchline_TBS.
Yeah, you need to start tweeting more from there.
I'm working on it. I need to hire an intern.
You got out of habit.
I should go get Jedi and Germ's intern. Make him run it.
There you go. All right, well.
We can afford it.
If there's anything you guys want us to talk about as the season draws to an end, just let us know. And, yeah, we'll talk to you guys later.
Later.
Peace out.